Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations. Online at shrm.org.
An intense desire for ink on their hands.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Billionaires Eli Broad and Ron Burkle really, really, really want to buy Tribune Corporation. Last night, they increased their bid for the nation's second largest newspaper group, which includes the LA Times. Now they're dangling a revised offer of $500 million cash, an employee stock purchase plan, and $34 a share. That's more than real estate magnate Sam Zell has plunked down. The board of Tribune will discuss the fate of the company today. If you don't want to buy a struggling media empire, how about a struggling automaker? Initial offers to buy Chrysler are due today, and Marketplace's Amy Scott takes a look at the possible candidates.
Media reports have named a number of potential buyers. Private equity funds Blackstone and Cerberus are among them. So is General Motors, though some say GM has backed off recently. Canadian auto parts maker Magna may be another contender. Analyst Brett Hoselton follows Chrysler for KeyBank Capital Markets. He says any buyer would need to shrink Chrysler's labor costs to profit from the deal, and that means negotiating with the United Auto Workers.
While there's a certain amount of value in Chrysler, that value is fairly small unless you can get some concessions from the UAW.
Union officials oppose a private equity deal for fear of massive job cuts, and they have some say in the matter. German law requires that a company's supervisory board approve such a sale, and union reps hold half the board's seats. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Okay, you probably know smoking isn't good for your health, but now there's a study that shows it's not good for your career, at least not if you're a woman in the Navy. From the health desk at WGBH, Helen Palmer looks at a just-published report in the journal Tobacco Control.
When they entered the Navy, 5,500 women recruits were classified as daily, occasional, or never smokers. Those classifications accurately predicted their career performance over the next 8 years.
Particularly daily smokers are not performing as well. They're more likely to not complete their term of enlistment. They have more demotions, more discharges that are not honorable.
Terry Conway of San Diego State University says non-smokers earned more and reached a higher rank. Conway says that smoking may be an indicator of other personality traits that affect performance, like being impulsive or a risk taker.
Or maybe smokers just, you know, aren't working all as many hours a day as never smokers are.
Conway says it could be cost effective to try and help new recruits quit. The extra training cost caused by military smokers leaving the service early is about $130 million a year. In Boston, I'm Helen Palmer for Marketplace.
And on Wall Street Thursday, the Dow closed up 48 to 12,348. The Nasdaq closed up a point to 2417, and the S&P closed up 5 to 1422. What do you do if you're taking a nice bath in a hot tub during a flight, and all of a sudden the captain announces turbulence? A mystery Mideastern billionaire will soon find out. He's ordered up his own Airbus 380. Price tag for the football field-sized cruise ship with wings that boasts a sumptuous master bedroom and 70 flat-screen TVs? $310 million. Room for lots of guests, and if it's not fitted for things like hot tubs, the largest plane in history can seat up to 853 regular people.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By Medtronic, applauding the many contributions of America's volunteers. You can find volunteer opportunities in your community today by visiting volunteermatch.org. And by A.G. Edwards, caring for nest eggs for more than 120 years with a commitment to provide objective financial advice.
Not very long ago, someone invited me to tour an eco-friendly yoga studio. Not just environmentally friendly yoga mats, but all the construction materials were green-themed, too. Now, before you roll your eyes and say how very Southern California, take a look at this week's Business Week. Sarah Rich has written a piece about the greening of America, and we talked about whether the term green is now a bit overdone.
I think it is, yeah. I mean, the other analogy would be that, you know, people started writing natural on food product, and I think basically the same thing goes for saying something is environmentally friendly. I mean, there's ultimately no bottom line standard that dictates what that means. Basically, just saying that is something anyone has the right to do without really qualifying what it means.
You give some good examples in your story about people who really are meaning it, who really do actually follow that. Can you talk a little bit about those?
Yeah, one really interesting one that I had learned about recently at a conference was this project called Background Stories that someone named Arlene Burt is doing. It actually was a student project, but it's really looking at sort of what's the whole story behind what ultimately landed that product in your lap, what happened from the very beginning. So she was looking at chocolate bars and looking at sort of all the way from where those cacao beans were grown through the production process and how they were transported and all of that. And so it becomes something that a consumer can understand. That's a much easier way to sort of make a decision about what you want to take part in.
I've also heard that there's an attempt to create a sort of seal of approval, the way we now have, I guess, stricter rules about labeling foods as organic.
Yeah, there are a lot of, I hear pretty frequently about people working on creating different seals. The U.S. government created one organic standard, which standardized sort of a base level of what organic means. And of course, there are still ways that certain farmers can surpass that. So a standard is good because it allows you to meet a certain level. On the other hand, sometimes it means that certain people don't have to go above and beyond that level. So that's where the question comes to sort of, if you decide on a standard of what green means, will you be able to surpass that in the future?
Mm-hmm. So in the meantime, we take it as a good thing that people are conscious of this sort of thing. But again, as consumers, we have to just be really responsible and read between the lines, I guess.
Yeah, it's hard because you do need to sort of think about, well, you know, this is good, but what's better? I mean, we're always trying to figure out what's going to be better than the baseline of what's just good, because we have a lot of work to do to improve the way things are produced and sold and transported and all of that.
Great. Okay, I think, Sarah, that's terrific. Thank you so much for your time.
Sure, absolutely. No problem.
Sarah Rich is the managing editor of WorldChanging.com. Her article appears this week in Business Week. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Enjoy your weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.